Well, today we're taking a break from the Gospel of Luke and moving over to the Gospel of Matthew. Can't get out of the Gospels. I love the Gospel. But today, as you may know, in the church year is Palm Sunday, the day on which the Lord Jesus Christ entered, often called the triumphal entry into Jerusalem, as he prepared in the week of his passion to go to the cross on that Friday. And so we'll be looking at both a passage in Zechariah and in Matthew. Matthew quotes this. So if you'll turn with me first to Zechariah chapter 9. Zechariah, one of those books that you may be asking, where is that book? It's one of those minor prophets that can be difficult to find. If you turn to Matthew and then you turn two books back, you'll find it. So we'll be looking and reading first a few verses out of Zechariah, Zechariah chapter 9, 9 and 10. If you're using the black Bibles in the pew, it's on page 1098, a little help there. But Zechariah chapter 9, and we'll be looking just at two verses, and one of them, verse 9, is quoted in Matthew. But again, the Old Testament tells us of the coming Christ. So in Zechariah chapter 9, we'll look at verses 9 and 10. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow shall be cut off. He shall speak peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. Now let's turn over to Matthew chapter 21. And as we think about looking at our coming king, we'll read verses 1 through 11 of Matthew chapter 21. And you'll see that that passage in Zechariah is quoted in verse 5. So let's now hear God speak to us. Matthew 21, beginning in verse 1. Now when they drew near Jerusalem and came to Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord has need of them. And immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he had come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? So the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. As far as the reading of God's holy word, let us pray. Our God, we are blessed as your people to hear you speak to us. Now open our hearts that we might receive what you have for us this morning, that we might be made more and more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that we might glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Lord willing, this week we'll have a visitor at the Campbell household. I believe that my father-in-law will be able to come down, and that's a great thing. Love to have visitors. Now, at my house, I don't even think I need a doorbell. I don't even think I need a doorbell because I have three little doorbells that announce to me when anybody's coming. In fact, sometimes they just wait out in the driveway. And you hear this from these voices. He is here! He is here! He is here! Or they are here! And they come running in the house and announce this. He is here. Well, this is a He is here moment in Scripture, isn't it? He is here. He is arriving. But it is of far greater importance than anyone who may arrive at our homes today. Because it is the arrival of the King. The King has arrived. Your King is coming. This is good news for God's people. We'll see that the prophecy that we read earlier in Zechariah, it's been 550 some odd years. It's a long time to wait. But the time has come. He is here. He is here. The King has arrived. Now, John 12 and all of the Gospels include this account. But in John chapter 12, John tells us that Jesus had spent the past week in Bethany. He had spent it with his friends. In fact, he had observed the Sabbath with Lazarus, Martha, and Mary. Mary ends up anointing his feet. And now, having rested on the Sabbath, he's on the move again. He's on the road again, and he's moving with his disciples toward Jerusalem. In fact, he's walking along the road, going from Bethany to Jerusalem. They're going to go and to ask someone and receive a positive response to borrow a donkey and a colt from Bethphage. And as they're going along this road, this is a road that would have extended for some 17 miles. It would have climbed some 3,000 feet. And yet is the road that our Savior is walking to His death. We might say that He is ascending to Jerusalem in order to be put to death there. But He's ascending as a king, isn't He? He's not ascending as a king to be put on a throne right now, but He's ascending as a king to be hung upon a cross for His people. He is the coming King. And what I want you to understand today is that if Jesus is your King, He has come to you and is coming for you. If Jesus is your King, He has come to you and is coming for you. And we're going to look at that. Under this theme that, behold, your King is coming. That's the language there out of Zechariah and out of Matthew. Behold, your King is coming to you. Personal nature there. Your King is coming to you as God's people. We'll see that your King is coming to a specific people. In a specific way and for a specific purpose. Your King is coming to a specific people. Now here we see as they draw near to Jerusalem that Jesus instructs two of His disciples to go to the village opposite you. And He tells them that they will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me. And if anyone asks you anything, you simply tell them, the Lord has need of them. And immediately they will send them. We'll talk about His authority in a moment. But we're told in verses 4 and 5 that this was done as a fulfillment of prophecy. Particularly, the prophecy out of Zechariah. This was done, and we're told in verse 5, quoting out of actually that first line in verse 5 is out of Isaiah, tell the daughter of Zion. This is who this is addressed to. This is the message, behold, your King is coming. And it is addressed to the daughter of Zion. Now, who is the daughter of Zion? We have to understand that Zion is language that speaks of God's people. It's often used to speak of God's people in the Old Testament. But it's not simply the Old Testament that Zion references, but all of God's people. In fact, if you look with me at Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22, Hebrews chapter 12, and Hebrews, one of those great books, if you want to interpret the Old Testament in light of the New Testament, Hebrews is a place to go. But Hebrews chapter 12, and verse 22 and 23. Notice how Zion is associated here with the church. Listen to these words in Hebrews 12, verse 22. Speaking to the New Testament church, "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect, to Jesus the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel." So clearly here, as we learn from Hebrews, this term Zion, used in the Old Testament. Psalm 2, for instance, verse 6, God has set His King upon His holy hill of Zion. Here in Hebrews, draws our attention to the fact that this is the church of the firstborn. These are those who have, in Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, come by His blood into the presence of God. And that means that Zion is you, church. Zion is you. You read Zion in the Old Testament, you can think, this is the church. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Speak to the daughter of Zion. Speak to the church. Your King is coming. Your King is coming. I want you to understand something here. This is very important. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is coming here for a specific people, the church. And He's coming again. We'll get to that in a little bit later for the church. That's why the church is important. See, don't be confused. Don't think that you can sit there and say, "I don't need the church. I'm not going to join a church. I'm not going to be part of a church and be part of God's people." Jesus is head of His church, and He's coming for a specific people. In other words, He's coming for those who He has worked so in the heart that they desire to join with His people in the church under His authority as King. And if you have not then been baptized, and if you have not then professed your faith in the church and are a member of it, then do so, because Jesus is coming for His church. Don't remain outside of it. Jesus is coming for His church. And He's coming in a specific way. Notice, we're told here, as this quote is drawn out of Zechariah chapter 9, "Behold, your King is coming to you." And notice the personal nature. He is coming to you. But He's coming in a particular way. Now, Jesus has already told His disciples to go and to find this donkey tied and a colt with her in verse 2, and loose them and bring them to me. And He says, if anyone asks you anything, if anyone says, "Why are you doing this?" you tell them, "The Lord has need of them." Notice He doesn't say, "Your Lord has need of them," but "the Lord." The Lord. He comes with authority, doesn't He? The Lord has need of them. But notice His knowledge here. How does He even know? He tells them in verse 2, "You will find a donkey tied." He's very specific. "You will find a donkey tied and her colt with her. Loose them and bring them to me." You'll find them tied. You'll find not one donkey, but two. "Loose them and bring them to me." Now, Jesus comes not only in this specific way, which illustrates His authority, but also His knowledge. Now, know this, there's nothing that happens that God does not know. Nothing that happens. In fact, this is a good way to think of things. Do not do anything or do not say anything that you would not like Christ to hear or see. Do not do anything or say anything that you would not like Christ to do, to hear, or to see. Because He has knowledge of all things. You see His power here. Notice that we're told that He is coming lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. And later He does, we're told that He comes not on the adult donkey, but on the colt. In other Gospels, we're told that this was a colt that no one had ever ridden. This would have been a wild donkey. And yet we're not told that this donkey kicked the Lord Jesus Christ off or any such thing. This donkey did as it was told, went straight forward. And this shouldn't surprise us, because who is Jesus but the one who controls the winds and the waves? A donkey is no problem for Him. You see, His power, His sovereignty over nature there. We also see the nature of His kingdom here. Behold, your king is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey. Now, Jesus is not coming as a king on a horse leading an army to war. He'll say later, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, I would fight and my followers would fight. But my kingdom is not of this world. Now we see that He comes to bring peace, not war. That's this picture. He's lowly and sitting on a donkey. This is not an animal that you would ride into battle. Not a donkey and certainly not the colt of a donkey. But He didn't come. And all of this culminates. Here is one who has authority. The Lord has said that He has a need. He has knowledge. You will find this exactly as I said you will find it. He obviously has the power to do whatever He desires to do. Sovereignty over nature, even this animal, this unbroken animal, remains calm and under control. But all of this draws us to this point, the humility of our Savior in His coming. Lowly. Lowly and sitting on a donkey. Now, Christ could have summoned angels to Himself. In fact, in Psalm 18:10, we're told that God is the one who rides upon the cherub. And yet here He is riding upon a lowly donkey. Flip over with me in Matthew to Matthew 11, verses 28 and 29. Matthew 11, 28 and 29 is quickly becoming one of my favorite passages in all of Scripture. It's this description of our Lord, who is coming here lowly and on a donkey. In Matthew 11, this is the King who is calling us to Himself. Matthew 11, beginning in verse 28. Come to Me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For My yoke is easy, and My burden is light. Gentle and lowly in heart. And here our gentle and lowly Savior comes. In what manner? In a manner fitting who He is and what He has come to do. Lowly and sitting on a donkey. Your King is coming to you. Now this King is unlike the kings of the Old Testament. Now David, yes, foreshadowed this King. But even David had his failures. But think of all of the kings that the people wanted for themselves. Think about in 1 Samuel, when the people desired and came to Samuel, we want a king like the rest of the nations. Well, this King who is coming is not like the king of the nations. Because what would the kings of the nations do? Well, Samuel told the people what they would do. They're going to take your people, your young men, and they're going to make them serve. They're going to make them march before you. Well, no, Jesus didn't come in that pomp. He didn't come with great display. He came lowly and sitting upon a donkey, because He is the true King. So we see here that Jesus came as He was promised in Zechariah. He came in this way specifically. Behold, your King is coming to you lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, the foal of a donkey. He came to a specific people and in a specific way, but He came for a specific purpose. And we see that as we continue on. Verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. They found the donkey, no surprise, Jesus told them it was going to be there. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them, and set him on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road, and others cut down branches, or told their palm branches in John, hence Palm Sunday, from the trees and spread them on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is He who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And here we see the recognition of who the Lord Jesus is. We see His coming, your King is coming for a specific purpose. Not only to fulfill prophecy, the prophecy of Zechariah, in which we're told that He came in a certain way, but to fulfill this prophecy as God's Messiah. Here, the individuals are crying out and bringing out words from Psalm 118. Turn with me over to Psalm 118. Psalm 118 is what's known as the Messianic Psalm. It speaks and is quoted often of the Messiah, of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's also the end of what is known as the Great Hallel, the Great Psalms of Praise, beginning in Psalm 113 and ending in Psalm 118. It was a psalm that would have been used at the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Dedication, and at Passover. Psalm 118, I want you to look with me at verse 25 and 26. Psalm 118, 25. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray. Send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. And so there's that quote. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And in verse 25, save now, which is what Hosanna means. Save now, or save, I pray. It's a cry for deliverance, for salvation. And then back in Matthew 21, we see the people bringing that up. Hosanna to who? To the Son of David, a messianic title, a title of the Messiah, the Christ, the one who is to come. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. When you hear that Hosanna in the highest, can't help but think of those words that were spoken when Jesus was to be born. Glory to God in the highest. We see here again a repetition. Hosanna in the highest. Praise in the highest of heavens. Because the Son of David, the Messiah, has come. Now Jesus here is being recognized by the people. We're not told if the people here actually recognized him as the Messiah that God had sent, or if they were still desiring him to be a Messiah, a political savior, an earthly Savior. In fact, many who cried out here, Hosanna to the Son of David, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, would cry out, crucify him, in response to, here is your King. Maybe there were some here who were not coming to Christ for the right reasons. But even so, Jesus comes here and he puts into motion the plans that God has set forth. This certainly would rile up the opposition in Jerusalem. In fact, we see that, don't we? People are asking. All the city was moved. Literally, in the Greek, the city was shaken. That term is used elsewhere for earthquake. The city was so perturbed and shaken by all that is going on, and people are asking, who is this? Not who is Jesus. They know who Jesus is. He's been there before. But who is this that is causing such a commotion? Who is this that is causing people to cry out, Hosanna to the Son of David? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth of Galilee. They don't quite get it. They should have continued on. The one who, as Isaiah speaks of, is come to suffer for his people. But the leaders would have heard of this. And in God's providence, they would have been riled up so that they could be used to accomplish God's purpose. And what is God's purpose? Why is your King coming? He's coming for a specific purpose, to fulfill the prophecy, to fulfill his calling as Messiah, to save his people from their sins. Hosanna, save, I pray, save now. It's interesting because as he's entering here, it's the time for the Feast of Passover. And there's instruction given in the Old Testament. One of you turn there, but Exodus 12:3, if you want to note that, is where instruction is given that a lamb is to be set apart. A lamb is to be set apart on the 10th day of the month, so that on the 14th day it could be sacrificed. And Jesus is entering here into Jerusalem, being set apart for the sacrifice on the 10th day of the month, prior to Passover. Because he's fulfilling God's plan to be that Passover lamb for his people. And I want you to remember this, that this coming is the coming of your King, if you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, then I want you to behold the coming of your King, who came to a specific people, came for a specific people, came in this specific way, showing forth his authority, his knowledge, his power, his kingdom, and ultimately his humility. He came lowly and sitting on a donkey, which is fitting for the one who has said, I am gentle and lowly in heart. He came to die for his people. I want want you to think about this. Here is the God-man, the second person of the Trinity, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, entering Jerusalem humbly, not on a great war steed, but on the colt of a donkey. You see, he came not to be placed upon a throne, but to be hung upon a cross, and he did that for a particular people. And I want you to be encouraged. Remember, I began with my children who will say, "He's here, he's here, he's here." Well, the people at this time were crying out, "He's here, he's here, he's here, the king is coming." And guess what? You should be ready to cry out, "He's here, he's here, he's here." Because he's coming, isn't he? The king is coming. The king came here, and the king is coming. But his second coming will be quite different than his first. He won't come lowly and on a donkey. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11. Now, Jesus came here in Matthew chapter 21 without much fanfare. Yes, the people were crying out, "Hosanna! Hosanna in the highest! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord." But there was no trumpets that were being sounded. There was no scheduled gathering. But listen to the words of Revelation 19, beginning in verse 11 and through verse 16. "Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." That is the one who is coming. He came, yes, lowly and on a donkey, but his second coming will be very different. There were no trumpets that announced his coming then. There will be. There was a crowd there, but not every eye saw him, but every eye will see him. He will not come seated lowly on a donkey, but as we're told here, on a white horse, followed by the armies of heaven. Be ready to proclaim, "He is here. He is here." Amen. Let us pray. Our God, we thank you that you have come, that you have come as our King, that you have given us hearts that recognize you and submit to you, and desire to live unto you. And we ask that you would prepare our hearts, knowing with certainty that just as you fulfilled your word in Zechariah to bring your king lowly and seated upon a donkey, you will fulfill your word in Revelation, and your king will come and deliver us from all of his and our enemies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.